Welcome to Our Noble Challenge. Pastor Eric Koonin now leads us in the study of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, his ministry partner, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, one who correctly divides the word of truth." Today we invite you to join us in your copy of the Scriptures as we examine together the Word of God under the direction of Pastor Koonin.
I want to be indifferent to Jesus Christ. I'm sure you don't either. I think Christmas, by all that it represents, is inclined to be a celebration. I know a lot of people do not celebrate Christmas, not only the unsaved, people who do not know Christ as their Savior, but there are a number of saved people as well who do not, some because of spiritual reasons, some because of indifference. I want you to think about celebrating today. It goes right along with worship. I believe it's a very important part of the Christmas message. Sometimes I prepare a message and I'm going one direction, then God takes me a different direction. That's what happened this week. I had planned on preaching on one thing, but it turned into a celebration. I hope you don't mind celebrating this morning. I know some of you came in this morning and were a little down in the mouth. I talked to several of you who were struggling this morning with various problems of everyday life and the complications that we have. But I want you to prepare your hearts to celebrate, to worship Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, I was glad that Michael and Dana sang, "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen." We are to be merry, are we not, about the things of Jesus Christ? I want you to join in with me. I'm not going to tell you I always sense, it's always the feeling welling up in me, but it's something that I propose to do day by day, that I want to celebrate Jesus Christ. And this season is inclined in that direction. It is meant to be that way. Let's think about it for a moment. I think about, for instance, I thought about Mary. She has her Magnificat. In Luke 1:46, she says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, for my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." That sounds pretty much like a celebration to me, doesn't it? Sounds like worship. You know, Mary's worshiping, celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege. And of course, we all know about the angels, right? We all know in chapter 2 of Luke, it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Glory, right? I have shared with you previously, you know what a doxology is, don't you? A doxology is something that brings glory. It is the word in the original, doxa, glory. So we want to say doxa this morning, glory to God, right? Along with the angels. We find also the shepherds a little later on, we're told. And the shepherds returned. Were they celebrating? Do you remember anything about that? What was the testimony of not only Mary, of the angels, but also the shepherds, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them? We could go on and on about all of these things, about every passage that deals with the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, his coming into the world, his first coming. It all seems to be celebratory. It's about celebration. We are people that should understand celebration. Maybe more than any people in the world, we should understand it. I recently caught a commercial by accident because I had been thinking about these things. And the commercial was advertising a restaurant that said, every day is a celebration when you go and eat at this restaurant. I kind of had a laugh, you know, yeah, maybe it's a celebration for them if they've taken the money. I don't know about us, you know, I don't think of that restaurant every day and say, oh boy, I'm going to celebrate. Well, no. But you know, it's funny how people use the word celebrate so much. But I want you to understand, when we talk about celebrating today, we're talking about worshiping Jesus Christ. I want your spirits to be glad today. I want you to rejoice with me today. It's no fun to rejoice by yourself, although I will if no one joins me. It's kind of like the old chorus, if no one joins me, still I will follow, right? If nobody else celebrates with me, you know what I'm going to do? I'll celebrate all by myself. How do you celebrate? Are you going to do it different this year? Are you going to think differently? Have you been indifferent in the past? Have you been so busy you didn't allow yourself an opportunity to worship and celebrate? Our party, our celebration, our worship for Jesus Christ is best when it's mutual. We come together to celebrate, didn't we? I didn't come to make you depressed. Sometimes there is a time and a purpose to mourn. We mourned the passing of our friend June this past week. But didn't we also celebrate? Why did we celebrate? Are we, you know, crazy people? Are we ridiculous? And we say, oh boy, let's celebrate. Well, June knew Jesus Christ as her Savior. She's no longer suffering. She's in glory. I have a feeling maybe she's doing a whole lot better than me today. Right? So we celebrate. We celebrate Jesus Christ. And this is a great season for it. I don't care necessarily, and maybe in some senses I do what other people do, but I've come to celebrate the Lord. So I point you in that direction this morning. So we talk about celebration. That's really the title of our message today. Celebrating the Savior. Celebrations. Don't pick the wrong reasons to celebrate, all right? I need to warn you. There's my warning. Don't pick the wrong reasons to celebrate. It's not about all of the things that the world says that you should celebrate about. It's not about the big parties that you should go to. It's not about eating too much. It's not about drinking, believe me. It's not about doing a lot of things that the world says is all right. It's about Jesus Christ. Remember a week or two ago, I said, this year, let's make Christ large. Let's make a lot to do about Christ. And we're still kind of thinking in that vein. This is kind of the goal this season in my preaching. We want to make Christ large. We want you to think differently. We want you to worship differently. We want you to make a lot out of Christ this year. Let's celebrate Him for sure. Let's do it differently. I think celebrations must be welcoming, don't you? How many of you like to go to a party where you're not welcome? You know what I mean? Like, everybody looks at you and say, what's Cunin doing here? He's a wet blanket. He's a pastor. Let's get rid of him as soon as we can. Not necessarily, but we all like to be welcome, don't we? We like to be welcomed. That's part of the celebration. It's a very important time for people that are born again Christians. It's a welcoming time. We welcome people to fold. We want people to join us in the celebration. I was driving down the road the other day trying to find something. I generally listen to talk radio of various kinds. And this time of the year, once in a while, I'll say, well, let's see what's on the Christmas music stations. And there's several of them that are playing Christmas music. And if I don't like the Christmas song on that one, I switch to the next one and so on. And after a while, after that happens, I may give up. But I notice they start playing a song that you don't hear very much. It's not a real popular Christmas song. Its words are pretty insipid, you know, and what I mean, they're kind of not all that, you know, and so you don't jump up and down about the lyrics, the words to the song. But it's called Please Celebrate Me Home. But what interests me was I heard the song and I listened a little bit. And this Please Celebrate Me Home, I think everybody likes to be welcome and to feel at home, don't they? Family comes back. Ben calls up last night. Paul was at choir practices. I'm back in St. Louis, just got off the plane. He came in from Germany. He says, I'll see you soon. My daughter's planning on coming home. But what if we didn't leave out the welcome mat for our children? And I was thinking about that. This is a chord that actually, the rest of the song didn't seem to make any sense to me, but just the one phrase, please celebrate me home, I think is the pleading of a lot of hearts this year, don't you? Please celebrate me home. Welcome me home. Be happy that I've come home this year. And I think that's important. I think some of our warmest memories this time of the year and why you carry on traditions and celebrations even in your own families and homes is there is something to celebrate and there is a warmth about the year. Somebody welcomed you home. Please celebrate me home. If you don't welcome me home, I'm pleading with you, please do that. You see, our salvation is in essence Christ welcoming us to Him, is it not? Wow. I love that about Jesus Christ. His yoke is easy, His burden is light. He says, welcome. He says, I love my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life. Christ welcomes His people by dying on the cross of Calvary for their sins. It wasn't because I'm so wonderful, it's because He is so wonderful. He's the one who threw out the welcome mat for me. He celebrated me home. And there's going to be a great getting up day, is there not, when we're all going to come together that know and love Jesus Christ. We are going to come together again on some great day, will we not? Somebody had asked me to write an essay for a possibility of a book. Some of you may be involved in that in the church. It was kind of on death and dying. But you see, my concept of death and dying is when it comes to Jesus Christ, we're all going to come to that day. But for those of us who love the Lord, He's going to welcome us home. Welcome home, Christian. Welcome home, beloved. Welcome back to me. That's home. We're just passing through here, aren't we? World is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up where? Somewhere beyond the blue. We're just passing through. funny part was Bill Gullett mentioned that song to me about 3 weeks before he died. He says, "You ever hear that song before, Pastor?" I said, "Yeah." There's something, you know, comforting in all of those sort of things, don't you think? It's a promise of eternal life and home. Well, our text this morning, where I want you to live this morning, is Matthew 1, 18 through 25. It seems like a strange passage of celebration, but it kind of gives a little bit of what it's like to go from upset to happiness. You know what I mean? Now, I know this world is upsetting to many of you. This world is filled with problems and struggles and dismay. But, you know, I want you to find joy in Jesus Christ now. Don't wait to that bright and happy moment. Let's celebrate now. That's one of the blessings of the local church, don't you think? That's one of the blessings of family. We get to celebrate together. We get to see each other. How joyous. We come together 2 weeks before Christmas and we're already celebrating. What is the matter with you Christians? Shouldn't you be talking about this on Christmas Day? I think we need to start celebrating now. Join in the happy throng. Join in with me. I know it's not easy day by day. I'm not going to be unrealistic with you. But you need to understand the importance and the value of celebrating day by day. And this is a joyous season. It should be on our lips. It should be on our minds. We should think of the wonder and the glory of what Christ came and done. We should think about Mary. We should think about the angels. We should think about the shepherds. We should think about the wise men. We should think about Simon. We should think about all of those people, Simeon, I should say. Celebrate. I'm actually going to come back to this passage tonight. I want to do some justice to this passage and talk about the virgin birth this evening. Well, let's read it very quickly here this morning, and then I want you to follow along with me as I make some commentary. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this manner, this fashion, this way, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of whom? The Holy Spirit." Really an unfathomable, incredible situation. We'll try to discuss it tonight. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man," he was a righteous man, he was a man of principle, of character. I believe he knew the living God, and yet I come to the next point and I say to you, this is stressed out Joseph, okay? You say, "What do you mean he's stressed out? What is he stressed out about? You know, this should be a really exciting time in his life." I always make the same comment back at you. Shouldn't this be an exciting time in your life? It's Christmas time. We could think about Christ even more. But you know, it's a very, very stressed out time right now. People worry. They're anxious. They're upset. Wow. Joseph was stressed out. And we were told why. Verse 18. "Mary was espoused to Joseph." I'm going to talk about what espoused meant. It's a little different. I'm going to bring it out a little more this evening. Espouse, there was two stages of a Jewish marriage in that day, okay? Most of you know that. There was a betrothal period much different than an engagement now. It would be like an engagement, but a lot different, okay? The engagement meant that you were legally bound to that person, and the only way you could get out of it was by death or divorce. Daddy of the groom would give a dowry to the other daddy for the hand of the wife. You know, they didn't date back then, right? And a lot of times, you know, it was just an arrangement was made. And it was binding, it was a contract, and that was it. And the second stage was the marriage ceremony, where that completed the whole marriage process. Well, this was still in that first segment, all right, the betrothal period, espoused to each other, but they were as good as married in the eyes of all who saw them. And so this is a problem. You say, why was he stressed out? Was he unaware of the truth of the Son of God coming from glory to a virgin? I think he was aware of the truth, but he didn't think it was going to happen to his family, right? And so he's concerned. And so we're told in verse 19, he's not willing to make her a public example. I believe he loved this woman. He made an intention in his life. He was going to love her. And he did not want to publicly humiliate Mary. Do you know that? He loved her that much that he didn't want to publicly humiliate her. Make her a public example. Bring Mary out in front of everybody and say, hey, I didn't know Mary. And now she's with child. I think we need to do something. So I'm letting everybody know. And she's publicly humiliated and drag her around. Hey, things were a lot different back then. The culture was different. So he's perplexed. He's stressed out. He's worried. I used the word dazed and confused. Do you ever feel like that? You're so stressed out that your mind's spinning and you say, what am I going to do? He was minded to put her away in a private sense. You know, he didn't want to publicly humiliate her. You do realize that actually, according to the law of Moses back in Deuteronomy, he could have even had Mary stoned. Put her to death. But he says, how are we going to do this? Maybe we could put her away privately. What's the right thing to do? He wants to do what's best. His reputation is at stake. His life is at stake. Everything is spinning out of control in Joseph's life. What's he going to do? Doesn't sound like much of a celebration to me, Pastor. So supernatural is this event that would you have been any different if you were Joseph? You'd say, hey, she's been unfaithful to me. What was he upset about? Well, he was upset about maybe there was another man. He was upset about shaming and disgracing her in public. He was upset about his own shame. He was upset about the possibility of doing this divorce. So he is just at the end of the rope. So it says, but while he thought on these things, you ever just conk out? You're so exhausted by the stress, you just conk out. You know, you're zapped. And sometimes we know God gives his beloved sleep. God gives this supernatural sleep, and an angel of the Lord, an angelic being, appears unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. You need to understand this is distinct. This is totally unique. This is of God. Shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled. I think the tenure changes, does it not? All of a sudden, this peaceful, comforting dream comes to him. It's gone from dismay to joy. It's gone from horror to the worst possibility to all of a sudden it's celebration, it's passion, it's wonder, it's glory. It's all of these things and so much more. And all of a sudden it says, you're going to have the Son. You're going to call him Jesus. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth the Son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord hath bidden him, and took unto him his wife. You notice all of a sudden, things changed. I think at this point in verse 24, what do you think? Do you think at this point they did the second part and had the marriage ceremony? I think so. You say, well, when did they do the ceremony? I think verse 24. I think they finished it up. Do you see it? And he took unto him his wife, meaning a sense of completion. So people say, well, then what happened? Did everything change? It says, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. By the way, any thought of Mary being a perpetual virgin makes no sense in the context of not only this verse, but in several other verses of Scripture. Because it says, not till. You understand that. And he called his name Jesus. Well, the world refuses to celebrate. I think the celebration began in their hearts, do you not? Mary knew, if you turn to Luke and read the account there, Mary knew and she rejoiced. Do you remember the Magnificat? We began reading that. I rejoice in my Savior, my God, my Lord. I rejoice in Him. And by the way, Mary says that's her Lord. I want you to understand that. It's important we understand what the Word of God says. But you see, the world refuses to celebrate. You know, we've all these stupid fights going on in our world. You know, it doesn't even make reasonable sense, does it? You know, people want to do everything about Christmas by Christmas presents. I've never heard too much about anything else. But, you know, you can't call it a Christmas tree. You can't say Merry Christmas. There's fights over nativity scenes all over the place. You dare not put it one up unless it's on private property. Otherwise, people are up in arms. They're going to, you know, burn down the pavilion or whatever else. Nothing about Jesus, nothing about Christmas. You can't do that or people are going to get upset. What's with all that? So do they celebrate Christmas? No, absolutely they don't. They could tell you they do, but they don't. The ones who truly celebrate Jesus Christ are those who worship Him. You see, it's nothing new, is it? Remember Herod? Herod said, let's kill all the babies in Bethlehem, right? There's always a Grinch, folks. But the problem is when you let the Grinch control everything, when you let the Grinches of this old world storm your house, storm your church, come into your life, and you no longer are celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ, then you got a problem. When they filtered into your life and you become like Joseph at the beginning of this passage, and you say, what about this? What about that? Oh, I don't think I can celebrate the Lord this year. I can't see Him because of the darkness of everything around me. Well, let's punch through, okay, the darkness, and let's come to the light again. The world obviously wasn't real welcoming to the Lord Jesus Christ. I flipped on to see who won the Heisman Trophy last night, the football award, and I'm always interested in speeches. Wasn't much of a speech. A guy went to Baylor. First time, I guess, somebody from Baylor ever won the Heisman Trophy. You guys should be interested, you know, down in your direction over there. I think it may still be a Baptist institution. But you know, you always long to hear people say, give glory to Jesus Christ. He said, well, I thank God, and that was pretty much it. But we're to celebrate Jesus Christ, and the world doesn't understand it. The world doesn't understand it. And it wasn't welcoming of Him, born of that humble birth, manger and a stable, and some people think a cave. So today, very few welcome Him in their home or give Him much thought. You be different. Well, let's provoke a celebration. I think the first thing you got to do in closing is this. You must answer the question of Matthew 22:42, which is actually answered in Matthew 1. In Matthew 22:42, Jesus asks this question. He says, what do you think of Jesus Christ? What do you think of Christ? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is He? You got to answer that question. What do you think of Jesus Christ today? Don't answer it just from a cold way. Answer it deep from who you are. See, celebrations aren't just a mere academic answer. Celebrations and worship comes from the very depth of our heart and our being. I like it. Joseph didn't just say, well, that's neat. He did what? He went out in verses 24 and 25. He believed what God had told him through this angelic being, through this revelation of God, and then he obeyed and became all that he was supposed to. You do realize there's not much said about Joseph. You ever wonder why? I'm going to try to answer a little bit of that this evening. But basically, Scripture never really says he's his father. He wasn't. The closest it comes is it says supposedly his father. It's an interesting commentary. You see, God must catch a hold of your heart before you can celebrate. You got to know the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it has to be welcoming to you. It's not like I need to think about it. It's none of those things. It's about Jesus Christ. You will not celebrate and worship Him unless you've been born again, unless you've been born again from above, unless you know Christ is your Savior today, unless you've experienced the forgiveness of sin, unless you have experienced the welcoming presence of Jesus Christ into your life. You will not celebrate Him appropriately. Well, there's Mary, the shepherds, the wise men, and so many more. What about you? It's much more about than being naughty or nice. It's about the Savior. It's about our celebration. It's about our worship this year. It's about your family worshiping Him. It's about you and our local church worshiping Jesus Christ. Let's not be indifferent to Him. Well, Father, as we leave this morning, may we begin the celebration afresh. Help us to celebrate You as we ought. May we love You more and more until You welcome us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Perhaps you need the Savior today. Love to talk to you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Our Noble Challenge. Our Noble Challenge is a production of Berean Baptist Church. Pastor Eric Coonan and the congregation of Berean invite you to join us when you can for a service of worship at 10:30 Sunday mornings. If you're interested in the Sunday school hour, you may show up at 9:30. We are located at 12985 Tollgate Road, Pickerington, Ohio, 43147. You can also reach our office by phone at 837-5204 or join us on the web at BereanBaptistChurch.com. Berean spelled B-E-R-E-A-N, BaptistChurch.com. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.